Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we have come not yet to the halfway point in our counting of the 40 days of Lent, but we are now embarking upon the third week of Lent, which is the halfway week in this Lenten season. This is the 15th day of the Lenten season. We'll have the 20th day is 5 days away, and that'll be the halfway point. Remember that Lent, the counting of the weeks of Lent is actually 6 weeks, not necessarily five. And the six work out because you have the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after Ash Wednesday, which are then matched with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week. So that Wednesday occupies kind of a dual purpose in the season of Lent, and it kind of makes up a sixth week because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week are technically days of Lent. Holy Week is not a special season. The Triduum is a special moment within the two seasons of Lent and Easter. So it all kind of works out. So 6 weeks that we actually observe Lent all together with, although there are five Sundays of it. Again, we always have weeks and Sundays. It's a very interesting kind of dynamic within our liturgical calendar and things like that. But here on this third Sunday of Lent, now, if it was year A, cycle A, we would be talking about the woman at the well and talking about baptism and refreshing our souls and feeding us with drink that can nourish us and give us life, life-giving water, all kinds of things like that. And this third Sunday of Lent, though, is in cycle C, the cycle of Luke. And we're not there. It's a different kind of experience. And I know that I have been very much saying that, again, these first two commentaries on the season of Lent, that, again, we're not focusing upon penance and making up for your sins and all these kinds of things like that. And all of a sudden comes in a gospel from Luke today in which I am told to be a liar. But I am not a liar. And I'm going to show you why I am not. Okay, so looking at this gospel of Luke today, we have this situation in which people are going to Jesus and saying, you know, do people die because of their sinfulness? Again, this idea that God is vengeful, that a God basically says, you're not going to listen to me, you're not going to do what I have to say, then I'm going to smite you left and right, smiting. And so there is this terrible experience in which, again, Galileans, now, is it Galilean Jews or is it just other Galileans who were Roman citizens or Roman people? Because Galilee was a crossroads of all kinds of people, all kinds of cultures, but it's not clear, but there was some kind of sacrifice taking place. And Pilate, again, who is the provincial governor of the area, was a crazy man. He was not a nice person. And basically, he decides that he's going to mix the blood of the people sacrificing sacrifices with the sacrifices themselves. So creating some kind of horrific, you know, murder that's happening there. And again, do these people who were offering sacrifice, and it seemed to be that they were doing something that would be pleasing to God, was it because they were sinners that all of a sudden God made Pilate kill them? And so what's that all about? And then there is this tower, I guess, because things were not always constructed very well in the ancient world, but it falls upon 17 people in the city of Jerusalem. And were they all killed? Because again, they did something wrong and God hated them. Again, this whole idea of a God who is tit for tat. You don't like me, then I'm going to hurt you. You like me, I'm going to bless you. And those who were succeeding always in blessings and success in life and luxury living and whatever it was, were always seen as people, again, who God favored because they must have done something right. And the poor and the downtrodden and those who are, have difficulty living or who were suffering left and right were obviously people who did something, you know, to anger God, and God was smiting them, you know, little by little by little. Again, Jesus's whole ministry is not about that kind of God. A God who works by threat is not a God that you want to be in relationship with and that you want a part of your life. God does not threaten because threats don't work. Do they ever really work? Threats don't work. They make us resentful. They make us feel guilty. They make us angry. They make us not want to do these kinds of things. They make us come back with even other kinds of threats. It's a terrible cycle. Threats do not work. They do not help anybody to do that. And again, parenting, sometimes we try to work with threats, but you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So what are we trying to do with this gospel? Well, there is that second part of it about this fig tree, you know, that isn't bearing fruit and that, you know, again, the owner of the field says, basically cut it down. It's useless. But the gardener basically says, let me take care of it and see what happens. Well, that's where this gospel connects with this first reading. Always remember, there's a connection between the first reading and the gospel. This is how the lectionary is arranged. Now, the second reading from 1 Corinthians, again, also talks about, again, those who, the ancient Israelites, again, who walked through the Red Sea and experienced a kind of baptism through that and who ate the food that God gave them, you know, to survive. But then it goes on to say, but they all died because they did something wrong and God hated them. So again, to get rid of that understanding in the second reading of a God who is vengeful, gospel, we need to kind of look again at that first reading and connect it both with the second reading and with the gospel. And that first reading is the wonderful story from Exodus and the burning bush. Again, the revelation of God, a God basically who sees Israel suffering, and a God basically who says, I want to do something to help them. I need to do something to help them because they are my people. They are not suffering under slavery. They are not suffering under oppression because they did something wrong, it seems, or because God smote them to be enslaved and to suffer. There's nothing about God making this happen. But what God is going to do is cure it, heal it, fix it, save it. And the one who's going to do this, again, when Moses asks the name, is basically the one who is a verbal phrase, who is activity and dynamism, who is life itself, the I am. Again, this God who can get things done because this God is activity. This God is desire. This God is all of those kinds of things that put this world into motion and put us into motion. And again, we who bear the name Christian, if we are also, again, if Christ is God and we are made in God's image and likeness, then we too are a part of that I am. That our title as Christian is not a flat noun. It is basically a verbal entity. It makes us into people that must be active and dynamic in this world. It is for us to take our faith seriously and to do something with it. We are the ones who are God's, again, as trite as it is to say sometimes, we are the ones who are God's arms and hands and feet. We are God's presence in this world because we have been baptized into this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we need to do something with this, to be active as our name demands us to be, and to be active because we know that there is a God who cares, a God who does not want to threaten us, a God who does not want to punish us, a God who does not want to make our lives even more miserable than they can be sometimes. But our God needs us to show this world that there is more than suffering and pain and sadness. This God needs us to show this world how much it is that we exist as a sign and symbol of God's love and God's presence in this world. Again, it gives weight, I believe, against that second purpose of what Lent is about, to ask ourselves why it is that we believe, why it is that we believe in a church that is so stupid and ridiculous at times, but also can be so glorious and wonderful at others. Why do we involve ourselves with any of this? Well, because we must be at work in the world to show the world that it is more than just its pain and suffering, to show the world the more that it is, to show the world the more that God needs it to be. God asks us to do that, and God's presence in us allows that to happen. It's awakening us to this. This is what Lent is about. Not, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I know I'm a worm. I know I'm no human being. I know I'm ugly. I know I'm terrible. That doesn't get us anywhere. Cycles of confession don't do anything if that's all they're doing, is making us mindful again of how bad we are. They need to move us into embracing the wonder and beauty of who we are, and allow that wonder and beauty to shine, to show God's presence in this world, and allow this world to find hope through what it is that we can witness. A continued blessed Lent to all of you from Franciscan Media. May the Lord give you his peace.